and saying, time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishing. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went on a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boats mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God, the giver of all love, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, how good it is to be at First this morning. Thank you so much for your invitation to be with you. It's really a wonderful privilege and a joy to be able to share this time and to worship with you this morning. This morning, I bring a greeting from our bishop, Bishop Jeffrey Clements, and a very grateful Northern Illinois Synod. And I'd like you to know that you are the thoughts and the prayers of our bishop as you go about your ministry. And I also bring a huge word of thanks today. Thank you for your generosity and your faithful ministry here at First as you proclaim loudly through both word and deed, what you say and what you do, God's great and wonderful love and grace in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what you do in ministry, you are making a wonderful impact on people's lives, not only here at First, but also in your community and in the world. Just think about it, some of what you are doing, your ministry as you touch lives with the love of Christ. About a month ago, I attended a meeting that we called a remarkable conversation with our bishop. And at that meeting, there were a number of people from First, and they shared the ministry that you are doing. And it was absolutely incredible. The things that you are doing in touching the lives of people with the love of Christ. Think about these things that you are doing. Providing space and opening and hosting the Oxford House. Of co-hosting interfaith conversations. Of housing a food pantry that impacts so many people with food and care and comfort. The making of lap blankets that bring warmth and comfort to people. A community breakfast this last Monday that fed 150 people. And you're doing so much more. Just think about what that means for these folks and their lives as you reach out to them in the love of Christ. And so today, disciples here at First Lutheran Church, thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you are doing and carrying out God's mission with your vibrant and impactful ministry. Thanks be to God. But there's one more word of thanks to you. Thank you for the partnership and the generosity that you share in ministry with the other 146 congregations of our Northern Illinois Synod and the almost 9,500 congregations of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Together we are the church as we bring the good news of Christ to our communities and to the world. Thank you for your ministry. You know, it is a wonderful gift to share in the mission and ministry in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so people of God, disciples here at First Lutheran Church. You are doing awesome things, and you are touching lives with the love of Jesus Christ. And so sharing God's wisdom, a touching lives with the love of Christ, that's what you and I are called to do in our lives and as a church together. And folks, this is the invitation to ministry that's front and center in Mark's gospel this morning. In this gospel text, what Mark is doing is sharing with us the story of Jesus calling his first disciples and inviting them to be about God's mission. Now, Peter and Andrew, James and John, these folks that Jesus was calling to ministry were fishermen. That's what they did for a living. And it was hard and grueling work. Many hours were spent out of the boat, raising and lowering the nets into the water in hopes of a reasonable catch of fish. And then when they returned to shore, after a long day out in the water, they had nets to mend, repairs to be done to the boat, necessary things to be done so that they could do it all over again the very next day. Now, Peter and Andrew, James and John, the fishermen, Jesus uses the analogy of fishing to explain the mission that he had in mind for his disciples. And as Mark tells us, Jesus talks about the disciples no longer catching fish, but rather about catching people. And in that short story, that sentence about what Jesus is calling his disciples to do, we are given the imperative for our church. For you and I, as disciples of Jesus, that we are to be out catching people. And this imperative for mission that Jesus brings to us in the story of the calling of his first disciples is all about the proclamation of the good news. Did you capture the first part of our gospel? About Jesus bringing the good news? We are to proclaim that wonderful good news of God's love and grace. And so this story about the calling of the disciples is not only about these fishermen, but it's also about us as well and our call to be disciples. Have you ever thought of yourself as a disciple? You know, we talk about membership, but you are a disciple. Disciples who follow Christ and are engaged in God's mission and the proclamation of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ. And this is really the story of our baptism, isn't it? In our baptism, we receive this incredible gift of God's grace in Christ for our lives. But there's more. You and I, in our baptism, are called to be disciples. And we are called to be participants in God's mission. You are a disciple. You are God's people in mission. So this morning, as we think about the story here of Jesus calling his first disciples, as we think about ourselves as disciples and God's people in mission, what I'd like to do is suggest to you a couple of things to ponder maybe this week as we seek to live out and to live in this call to be God's people in this place, to be disciples. And so the first thing that I'd like you to consider as we live in the midst of God's grace and this call to mission is to live faithfully. This means drenched in God's life-giving love and grace of Christ, we grow in this grace. Understanding that God is always at work in us and through us. This means that all of who we are, all that we are, all that we do is about Jesus. In my office, I've got tons of crosses on my wall. These are crosses that I have collected over now over 40 some years of service. In fact, these crosses on the wall have been made by my two sons way back in Vacation Bible School 30 some years ago. And they're still hanging on the wall. And these crosses aren't simply decorations for the wall, something to hang up and look at. But rather, when I walk into my office each day, the first thing I see is that wall of crosses. And they remind me who and whose I am. And surrounded by these crosses, I remember the cross of God's grace in which I am drenched each day. And in that grace, I am called to be a disciple and a fisher of people. We are called to proclaim the good news of Jesus as we live in and as we live out God's grace each day. And this living faithfully puts the cross of Christ at the very center of our lives and our walk each day as we seek to live in God's grace and be disciples and God's people in mission. Living faithful is who we are and what we do in this gift of life and mission we share. And to always know that it's about Jesus, not about us, but about Jesus, and proclaim this wonderful good news of God's healing grace and love in Jesus Christ. And so that's why it's always important as disciples and people of God, as a congregation, to constantly be asking the question, what is it that God is calling us to do in this time and in this place? We are disciples. And it's God's love and grace in Christ that sustains us in the mission to which God calls us. A second suggestion to ponder in our call as disciples and God's people in mission is to what I call live gracefully. To live gracefully. That's at the heart of what it means to be a disciple. It's a heart filled with delight and thanksgiving for God's love and healing grace in Christ. It's a way of living a life which touches lives around us with the love of Christ. It's making a difference in people's lives as disciples by the way that we proclaim the gospel, by what we say, and how we live the gospel by what we do. Martin Luther calls us the little Christ for neighbors. Little Christ, bringing God's love to those around us. Let me share with you just a short story of what this might mean. How many of you have heard of Tony Campolo? Tony Campolo is one of my favorite storytellers. He's now a retired Baptist pastor and professor emeritus of sociology at Eastern University. He has written tons of books and is a nationally known speaker. And he tells a story in his book called Who Switched to Christ Christ Anyway? Of a teacher by the name of Wisconsin. Now, if you're a teacher, you may have heard this story. But he says there's a teacher by the name of Miss Thompson. And it was the first day of school, and she gave a speech that many students have heard before. I love you all the same. No one is special. There are no favorites. But sometimes teachers do have favorites. And there are some kids that they have trouble with. And there was a boy in Miss Thompson's class by the name of Teddy Stollard. And for Miss Thompson, Teddy was a problem. He smelled musty, his hair was disheveled, his clothes were unkempt, and he just kind of stared off into nothingness and talked to him with a flat yeah or no. And that was about it. When correcting his paper, Miss Thompson took the light and putting X's on his paper and marking failure at the top of the flare. But she should have known him, because you see, she had the right grace. In second grade, he said that Teddy was a good boy, but he was deeply troubled. And he had a very poor home situation. They also said that his mom was terminally ill. In third grade, they said that Teddy was far too serious. He was falling behind the other students. It also said that his mother had died and that his father showed no interest. And now in fourth grade, Teddy continued to be deeply troubled. And in fact, it looked like he might flunk fourth grade if something didn't happen and happen soon. Well, it was Christmas time that year. In fact, it was the last day before Christmas break. And as the kids came into class, they all brought presents and they put them on Miss Thompson's desk. And she was surprised to see Teddy coming through the door carrying a present, one that was wrapped in old brown wrapping paper and held together with bits and pieces of Scotch tape. Well, it came to the afternoon, and as the kids were celebrating, Miss Thompson opened up those packages that the kids had brought her. And she got to the package that Teddy bought. And she picked it up and started peeling away that brown wrapping paper and held together by those bits and pieces of Scotch tape. And as she did, out fell an old rhinestone bracelet with half of the stones missing. And in that package, she was an old bottle of perfume that was half used up. And the kids began to giggle. But Miss Thompson looked at her and she opened the bottle and put some of that perfume on and said, "How nice it was." Well, when the day ended and the children were gone, Miss Thompson was sitting at her desk and she looked up and she saw Teddy standing there. And Teddy looked at Miss Thompson and he said, "Miss Thompson, you smell just like my mother. And the bracelet stood on you too. I mean, what? You like my presence." When he left, Miss Thompson prayed for forgiveness and said that she would be a teacher now that had made a difference in people's lives. And when the children returned to school after Christmas break, she began working with Teddy, tutoring him. And soon he caught up with his classmates, and by the end of the year, he had even passed some of them off. Well, the students moved on. And over the years, Teddy and his scholar kept in contact with one another. But one day, Miss Thompson received a card in the mail, and she opened it up and said, "Dear Miss Thompson, I graduated second in my class, and I wanted you to be the first to know. Love, Teddy Starr." 4 years later, another note that said, "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I'll be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know. The university wasn't easy, but I love Teddy Starr." 4 years later, another note, "Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore J. Stollard, MD. How about that? I'm going to be married in July. On the 27th, to be exact. And I would like you to come and sit where my mother would have sat. You're the only family I have. Daddy died last year." And Miss Thompson went. And she sat where Mrs. Stott would have sat. With her life. And with her giving, she made a difference in a person's life. And folks, that's what being a disciple is about. Of living in and living out the grace of God. Of bringing the love of Christ to us and making a difference in their life. You know, when you think about it, God's grace and love is the most exciting news there is. God loves us so much that he sent his Son to die on the cross for us that you and I might have forgiveness and life. Is there any better news than that? Any more exciting news than that? And just as Peter, Andrew, James, and John were called to be disciples and fishers of people, as disciples, we proclaim this great and life-giving love and grace of God, seeking to make a difference in people's lives. As you and I live in this grace of God and live out this grace of God in our lives. And so, people of God, disciples here at First Lutheran Church, thank you again for your wonderful and vibrant ministry and the many ways that you are touching lives with the love of Christ. And know that God is in the midst of all that you do, with the love of Christ that sustains you and empowers you in your ministry as you reach out to God's people in your congregation and your community. Blessings in your ministry. And thanks be to God for all that you do in the name of Jesus Christ.